This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In the midst of a new round of labor battles, a New York Times CBS News poll offers some encouraging news for unions and some sobering challenges.
While Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker wants to end collective bargaining, provoking a national debate about public sector unions, the new poll finds a majority of Americans oppose cutting pay and benefits of public workers to reduce state budget deficits. It also finds most Americans support collective bargaining for public employee unions.
But unions are hardly popular. According to the same poll, only a third of those surveyed have a favorable view of unions, which leads to the questions, why are unions apparently losing the PR campaign? While most Americans support basic worker rights and basic benefits like fair pay, weekends, sick leave, all of which unions have fought for, why do so many see unions as the problem?
And that's our talker today. Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Do you think unions need to do a better job at making a case for what they do? And if so, how should they do it? Do you think unions are getting a fair rap in the current debate, or do they need to do a better job educating the public about their role? Now, to help us through this discussion, I'm joined by Tom Jurevich. He's professor of labor studies at UMass Amherst, and he joins us from Amherst, Massachusetts. Thanks for coming in, Professor Jurevich.
Good afternoon, Anthony.
Good to have you. And here in the studio is Harris Grumman. He's the Massachusetts political director for SEIU, the Service Employees International Union. Harris Grumman, thanks so much for being in the studio.
Yeah, thank you, Anthony.
And Professor Jurevich, let me start with you. These latest poll numbers, they're consistent with what we've been seeing for some time. Only one-third of Americans view unions favorably. What does this tell you about the challenge facing unions?
Well, I think if we step back, what we see is that it is true there's been a trend line in terms of these general attitudes towards union that have dropped pretty significantly. But they also really mimic what's also going on with how people believe their confidence in institutions in general. So what we see now is a growing perspective of Americans who don't see as institutions as the solutions to the problems in America.
So when you say institutions, you're talking about all institutions in general?
I mean, all institutions in general. Oh, we see the church and the military sort of stay up there, but Congress, banks, business, all of those actually parrot right along with people's views towards unions, although unions are seen slightly less favorable.
Hmm. And Harris Grumman, same question to you. It seems like there's both good news and bad news in this survey, and I'm just wondering how you respond to some of those numbers I just tossed out there.
Well, I think the good news is that people recognize that the governor in Wisconsin has overreached, that he has an extreme ideological agenda. He's attacking basic democratic rights that people value in this country, and that is just so clear that people know where they stand, and they stand with the unions on that. I think talking about the PR campaign is very appropriate because there is a PR campaign out there to make unions look bad. There is not really a corresponding PR campaign on our side because we're not in the PR business particularly. I mean, we're really in the business of protecting middle-class families, working people, making sure their lives improve rather than get worse. And that's where most of our resources go. And that's not, you know, there should be some balance. We should be putting more resources into making our case.
Well, I wanted to say that. I mean, you said your business isn't PR, and that's a point well taken. On the other hand, you guys exist in a sophisticated political world, mm-hmm. and we all know that PR is a part of sort of winning the political mm-hmm. point in the day. So did unions need to do a better job in sort of pushing that message, or at least educating people about who they are and what they're doing?
Yes, I think education is exactly right. I mean, if I can make a little analogy, it's sort of like NPR, right? I mean, NPR is under attack by an extreme sort of ideological minority who want to defund it. And it's not an institution, the National Public Radio, that really spends its money creating its image and promoting its image. It exists to educate people and to deliver culture to people. So I think unions have a similar problem. I mean, we're really in the business of improving lives, not in the business of selling ourselves. And yet, like you say, we have to do that as well. It is a political world, and we have to be political, and we are political. So I think that's something we want to get across is something people do know deep down. You see it in that poll. When the challenge comes, they can see which side people are on, and they can see that the union exists really to promote people's rights. I mean, the people remember that the unions created the great middle class we have. I mean, that's why the people in this country assume a middle-class lifestyle is the norm. And so we could lose that, and we have to remind people of that and remember it the way we remember it every day.
Tom Jurvich, I mean, one of the big sort of points, sort of salient points here is union membership really since the end of World War II has been, or I guess since the 70s or so, has been really slipping. Does that contribute to this problem? That is, simply put, fewer people in unions, fewer people caring about what happens in unions, with unions.
I think it does in part. In part, it means unions are less in the public eye, and I think these general attitudes have dropped. But I think this new poll is very revealing, because although in general, when you ask people, what do you think of unions? That's sort of like asking people what they think about a new car they've never owned before. But when you ask them a specific question about collective bargaining and public employees, what's amazing is that there's this groundswell of interest in unions. So I think we've got to take a little bit of some of this polling with a grain of salt in terms of these general attitudes towards unions. I think, as Harris has indicated, when the rubber hits the road, people want unions. And they look at countries that don't have unions. What do they see? They see totalitarian fascist states. And they see that unions are part of a democratic process. So in that way, I think the more specific questions on these polls are much more important than these general attitudes about what do you feel about unions.
Well, for example, a specific question. Give us an example.
Well, the new survey says, do you oppose or support collective bargaining rights for public employees? 66% of Americans say we support collective bargaining rights for Americans, twice as many who are opposed to it. And that's the kind of specific questions. We're going to see more of this, Anthony. The governor in Wisconsin has announced almost $1 billion of cuts today to schools and local municipalities. That's going to have a massive impact on what goes on in schools and local communities. And at that point, this notion of tax cutting is not abstract. It's not just a Tea Party value. Then people have to say, how do we evaluate my school? And you're going to watch, I think, very clearly in Wisconsin, a lot of backtracking as people say, we want our schools to be good. We want our school services to be good. We want our trash collected. And you know what? We want to compensate the workers who do that fairly.
Listeners, we're talking about labor unions and what they can do to, if they need to do a better job, getting their message out in the midst of this current labor debate. And let me play a cut of tape, this both to lighten the mood, but it makes a serious point. This comes from The Daily Show last night, in which Jon Stewart gives voice to the supposed rage across the land with unions. In this case, he takes the teachers' union to task. Let's listen.
I don't know if you were listening, but you're destroying America. Yeah. Look at you. With your chalk-stained irregular blouses from Lomans. And your Hyundai with its powered steering and its windshield. 3 months vacation every summer. Special textbooks with all the answers in them. Don't think we don't know about those shiny red apples you get day after day. You think those apples grow on trees, mister? Well, I don't, because I don't have all the answers in a book. The point is this. The greed that led you into the teaching profession has led to the corruption of it.
But, John, there's a correlation between poverty and poor test scores. Teachers shouldn't bear the total blame for a larger systemic failure. Pish, posh, piffle.
Okay, so that's Jon Stewart of The Daily Show. Obviously, tongue-in-cheek satire there, but it does sum up pretty well the idea that maybe some of this anti-union rhetoric across the land isn't based so much on reality as sort of trumped-up ideas. But it also points to what we're talking about today, and that is the need for unions to do a better job at getting their message out. Listeners, what do you think about this? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And let's go to David right now, who's calling from South Boston. Hi, David.
Hi. What I told your screener was I was a printer for 25 years. I worked in union shops. I worked in non-union shops. Union shops were always better places to work. Among other things, you knew what other people were being paid. There was a scale that was very important in terms of creating an environment that was decent to work in, and other things in terms of benefits. the ability to deal with illness, things like that.
There was
no question. There was the union shops were far better places to work in.
Well, thanks for the call, David. I appreciate your input. Harris Grumman, before we heard that clip from John Stewart, I'm sorry, I wanted to ask this question to Tom Jervik. Just before we heard that clip, I was talking with Harris Grumman about the need to educate folks perhaps better about it. How should unions go about that? Can they go about that?
Well, I think we have to do something really radical in America, which is sometimes look at the facts. I mean, when we look at Wisconsin, what's staggering is, despite all the rhetoric around it, is that those public sector workers in Wisconsin, now many of them are highly educated, but if you compare them with the workers with the same education level in the private sector, they actually make 14% less than workers in the public and private sector. Additionally, we hear a lot about the gold-plated pensions. The average pension in Wisconsin is $23,000. So I think we have to start first off with stripping away the rhetoric and getting to the facts. And I think part of that education process is doing it really on a local level. I mean, because we can talk about these national numbers, but it's who do we care about? We care about the teacher in our school. We care about our postman. We care about the person who picks up the trash in our neighborhood. So I think it's really important that we bring these lessons home to our own communities, where we live and where we work.
Isn't, though, let me push back a little way, and I'll get you, Harris Grumman, mm-hmm. to respond to this. Not long after World War II, I guess unions represented something like 36% of the private sector workforce. Now they represent something like 7%. A lot of factors contribute to that decline, but I guess it's fair to say that part of what led to these numbers is that unions failed to adapt to a changing economy. Okay, now we're faced with huge state and local budget shortfalls. You can question the politics behind what Governor Scott Walker is doing out there, but he's dealing with a real fiscal problem. Don't unions have to adapt to this changing fiscal reality, and if so, how?
Well, I think that they adapt best by negotiating at the negotiating table. That's what collective bargaining is for. That's what really makes it work as part of a democratic society. I mean, here in this state, we have a very good relationship with many of the people in office in the sense that we can sit down and negotiate, and it's a hard negotiation. The governor has a responsibility as the CEO of the state to push back and say, you know, we have budget problems. We know that, and we make concessions around that. We take furlough days. We take cuts in pay and benefits or postpone raises for the cost of living and things like that, which, you know, that comes out of negotiating. What's happening in Wisconsin is an attack on the negotiating process itself. It's to take it away and put the power completely in the hands of people who are ideologically committed to getting rid of unions from the American scene. But I do think we have to admit we're in a vulnerable position because of what's happened in the private sector. I think it's good you brought that up. SEIU has really recommitted itself, as have many of our union allies, to organizing low-wage workers in the private sector. Those are the people who really need a union now. They don't have it. It's the only way they can get into the middle class.
And I actually want to get into what you're doing, mm-hmm. but I want to do that in just a moment,
okay,
because
sure.
I've still got some more callers who are dying to get in on this conversation. Let's go to John, who's calling from Roxbury. Hi, John.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. What's on your mind?
Well, I think that it's clear for anybody who looks at this national push against unions is that unions have suffered from the same misrepresentation and flat-out lies that much of the, you know, and I hate to use the phrase liberal, you know, or agenda, much of the healthcare debate and much of the attack on unions have been run by the right-wing Republican agenda, and it's been fueled by just flat-out misrepresentations of what unions are and what they do. And I think, like one of your members said earlier, when we look at the facts, we find that unions are an integral part of America and important to America.
Mm. Okay, John, thanks for that call. Harris Grumman, I know that one of the points that you brought up with my producer is you're concerned about some misinformation that actually gets perpetuated by folks like me in the media, right? I mean, is this
I wasn't going to blame you personally.
Well, I didn't take it personally. I'm way past that.
Well, the conversation that's going on is has been overly dominated by people who would like to see unions out of the way as a force to keep up the standard of living of middle class people that we're used to. When you said before just now that we did not adapt to a changing economy, We did not adapt under conditions that were really quite difficult for organizing. In the early 70s, the whole playing field changed against unions, and it had changed before already in the late 40s. There were, have been a series of limits put on what unions can do to organize in the private sector that are not there in the public sector. So public sector, people really do have the freedom of association. In the private sector, union busting and intimidation efforts by companies to keep unions from being formed are so strong that it takes an extremely determined effort to win a union. And so there are plenty of people out there who would take a union up as we heard before in the specific case of themselves. They would say, yes, I want a union. Most of the hostility, I think, is almost a sense of that's not something I could ever have. Hmm. And we need to change that. We need to change labor law again back to the way it was in the 30s and 40s that built the middle class we have today.
Let's take another call. Rebecca is calling from Burlington. Hi, Rebecca. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm actually a public school teacher, and I'm new to Massachusetts. For the past 3 years, I've worked in Virginia, and before that, I taught in South Carolina. And, of course, there's no unions in Virginia or South Carolina. But I have witnessed firsthand this awful rhetoric and attitude towards unions. I was part of a national conference in Virginia last year, and they were comparing improvement scores for AP students across different states. And one of the things that they said about Massachusetts was that they had the least amount of improvement. And one of the ladies given the presentation said, oh, well, that's because they have unions up there.
Mm, so another statement there where unions are being blamed. Thanks very much, Rebecca, for that call. I want to try to squeeze one more call in. Gardner is calling from Danvers. Hi, Gardner.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
I just wanted to suggest that the unions are losing political or public favor in that they no longer that they seem to stretch the parity issue when the public private sector is employees are paying 18% or 20% of their health care and unions fight hard for a 5% or 6% cap. It makes it very difficult for people in the private sector to really relate to their demands.
That's good. Now, Gardner, I understand you're a selectman out there in Danvers. Is that right?
I am. Good. And I do not participate in the collective bargaining. That's not the role of selectman in my town.
Sure. No, but you make a point, and I want to pass it on. Let me go out to Tom Jurevich. What do you say to Gardner there in Danvers about his point?
Well, I would echo what Harris said earlier. I think all of us understand that these are different circumstances right now and that we in the labor movement have got to work creatively to make things work for our members and for the state and municipalities where we are. But again, I think the point where Governor Walker is on the wrong direction is that we don't want to alienate unions or eliminate them. David, one of your earlier callers, the printer, said, I thought it was beautiful the way he talked about it. You know, in a union shop, he talked about how things were transparent. Everybody made the same amount of money. There weren't any secret deals and so on and so forth. And I think what we need to do now is to come together and actually work through the difficult things we have to in our towns. But we do that through the process of collective bargaining and with some sense of good faith and without demonizing public sector workers.
And Professor Jurevich, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much for coming in. That's Tom Jurevich, Professor of Labor Studies at UMass Amherst. Also, Harris Grumman, the Massachusetts Political Director of the Service Employees International Union. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Anthony.
Coming up after a short break, one of the most significant public employee union battles in U.S. history was right here in Boston. We'll remember the Boston police strike of 1919. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.